This week, coming up from the ashes.
And of course, if you know you haven't ever played Monster Hunters once in your life, you should. It is pretty widely accessible. There are a lot. It's on a lot of platforms. Like, the games are like everywhere. And yeah, I mean, that's it. Check the link for all the socials and stuff, and you know, Phoenix. Send him and Mason your best wishes. And that's it. We will catch you. Am I forgetting something? I'm probably not forgetting something. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to From the Ashes podcast. I am now your new Empire Overlord host, Arsidas Clown. Empire? Emperor. And with me is just Grim. That's it. That's all we have today.
Yep.
Yep. I'll try not to sound too disappointed, but, you know, there is a great reason as to why you're here. And that's to drag me to victory by doing all of the work. And
as always,
going into Grimm's most favorite topic in the entire world, aside from Autobots and things with scales.
Okay, well, that makes it sound a lot more weird.
I mean, what? Is there anything in this world that really interests you aside from extraterrestrial things, or mechanical things, or things that have scales?
Okay, well, to be fair, you just listed every single base, like, hobby of every single man on the planet, so...
Plants.
Okay, look, people like gardening.
The ground you walk on... The joys of having a goldfish.
I had a kung fu fighting fish when I was a kid. It died. I saw it, like, it got stuck under the coral that I got for it, and I saw its gills get, like, ripped out. It was kind of traumatizing. This has nothing to do with the current episode. What are we talking
about?
That poor
fish, dude. You know exactly what we're talking about. There's no need to play a bit. We literally discussed it before we started this episode.
Okay, fine. Sorry that I'm trying to be interesting.
Oh,
especially since we have to pick up
the
slack.
Cut the bollocks.
Okay.
Anyways, ladies and gentlemen, we're here to discuss.
This is the copyright-free version.
It's time to prove that you're a hero, because we're going to finally talk about everybody's favorite monster-slaying franchise, Monster Hunter, developed by the good lads over at Capcom. They simply decided that putting out Resident Evil, you know, bangers like that in Street Fighter just weren't enough, and so they decided to grace us with the absolute pinnacle that is Monster Hunter. Now, you mind, you know, before we get into that, though, the reason this has happened is because we are fresh off of the whole Mason stuff. So, you know, the Mason stream happened. Massive success. Thank you to everybody who was there and contributed. It was a great time. Those first 2 hours were absolutely wild because we reached the goal in, like, 2 hours. So, you know, that was great. And of course, you know, Mason had his surgery for his the big bad you know, C word, and it was a tremendous success. And you know, he's currently resting, and of course Phoenix is looking after him, you know, watching him over like a hawk 24/7, as he should. You know, Mason needs all the pampering and care that he needs, and so he has entrusted us, the two most loyal henchmen. Not if anything, I'm like the fifth most loyal henchman, but he's decided to pass down the reins onto us for this episode. So, you know, Let's disappoint him by talking about Monster
I was about to say, he also just wanted an excuse to not talk about Monster Hunter, so he passed it off to us,
I mean, to be
knowing that he
fair,
doesn't have to finish the games.
though, he was going to leave that episode to us even if he did show up. Like he's literally just gonna sit there and just record while we talked about it. So
That's true. That's true.
But yeah, send all your wishes and love to Mason. And back to brass tacks. So how many games are there in the series again?
You know, that is a wonderful question because
You don't know.
when Monster Hunter kind of like got its footing after the first game, it came out with DOS, which, DOS is cool, except for the part where it sucks. And then it came out with Monster Hunter, I think it was Freedom Unite, which was, it was DOS 2.0. So it was basically just DOS and a half, okay? And they just decided to keep that kind of style of game where they release a game and then about a year later, they release technically the same game, just with more content.
Oh,
So the most
this whole
prevalent one,
debacle, man, of
yeah,
them
the
just
most prevalent
re-releasing
one
the same game but with
is,
more content.
yeah, but the most like iconic one, I guess, is Generations. Then, skip a few bits, and then you have Generations Ultimate. I mean, there are differences between each of those games. I don't know the ins and outs of like each difference, right? But I know that there's differences in terms of move sets. Obviously, there's different monsters. Some of the monsters in the first rendition get new moves in the second rendition. Just kind of all that stuff. And when Monster Hunter came to modern consoles, PS4, Xbox One, all that stuff. They straight up just said, okay, well, we're just going to do DLC this time. And, it only turned into their best-selling game of all time. So clearly they're doing something right. But
Talking about
in
world.
terms of in terms of all of the games, I know that there is obviously Monster Hunter 1, Monster Hunter DOS, Monster Hunter Freedom Unite, Monster Hunter Portable 3rd,
You
which is where
I'm already
Zenogre was
so
introduced.
sick of this. Oh man, could just go by numbers. They always had to just throw in a name.
And then they had Monster Hunter Tri, which had Legaicus. And then they had Monster Hunter Tri Ultimate, which was Bracadillos, right? And then we got Monster Hunter 4, and then what was I think it was Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate, which was the next one. And then yeah, and then it was Generations, then it was Generations Ultimate, then World, then Iceborne, then Rise, then Sunbreak, and now we have Wilds, soon to turn into something else. And that's just the canon games.
Oh, yep. And then you have all your little spin-offs, one of the most prevalent being stories, RPG series. One that I was currently playing before I got the call. But I mean, yeah, that's a lot of ground to cover, but I guess let's go back to our humble beginnings, because I know for you, your first was World, right? I mean, that was the one that, the fated Romeo came in and told you about and got you into it, and then it sunk his claws into you and it never quite let you go. And then you tried to get
I
me to
was
play
like,
it, and then I was like, nah, man.
and then you were like, wait, no, this is actually peak.
I'm not gonna play it until like 6 years later.
But yeah, no. I it's funny too, because I remember, because I was in one of my big arc crazes, right? And I was talking with Romeo about it, and he's like, oh, yada 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 yada, oh, it's great, awesome. And I'm like, okay, yeah, no, it looks cool, but I don't want to like kill these cool dinosaurs. I'd rather tame them and like hang out with them, right? And eventually, he just got me like hooked, and I was like, okay, right? And when I started, I was piss poor at art, or at Monster Hunter, dude. I sucked. Okay. And
There's the first slip.
it's not even a slip. Okay, I'm that's not a swear. You can't convince me that piss is a swear.
Oh, man. I guess we'll have to figure out post haste. And that's also if I don't get too lazy to edit. No, I promised I would edit it out. All right, anyways, whatever.
All
Keep going.
right. Anyway, now I completely lost my train of thought. Right, Monster Hunter. So I sucked, as one does. And I remember that I would just get carried. Okay. I'm gonna say this so only the entire internet can keep it a secret, right? I trust all of you. I failed to Gyarados. I failed a quest to Gyarados. And one of the funniest moments in all of Monster Hunter history to me, I was playing World and hanging out with Pac, right? And we were talking, and Gyarados, he was beating me up. And eventually I was like, okay, all right. I gotta back out. I gotta back out. He's a fish. I gotta go on land. I'll be fine. Okay. Pac heard the fear in my voice. It was like God himself instructed this vile creature to arise from the ground and attack me. And Pac heard me scream at the top of my lungs, "The fish grew legs?"
I think I
And that has
remember that
been
actually.
a running joke, but both between me and Pac, and then just me and anyone else, because I find it so funny.
Oh yeah, I remember Peck telling me like something about like the fish grew legs. I was like,
Yep.
oh no, of course it had something to do with Grimm. He's out there doing something weird again. Well, nice to know where that came from.
Yep. No, I sucked at Monster Hunter, as one does. And yeah, I got my buns whipped by Gyarados, of all things, the vile creature. And then came along everyone's favorite walking Dragon Ball reference.
All right, I'm going to stop you right there because one, I am not going to censor everything. And two, man, these sunflower seeds are really good. But anyways, moving on from that. What was your second game? Was it Rise or was it something else?
Okay, by technicality, and I say that with air quotes, my second game was Monster Hunter Generations Ultimate, and I died to Yen Kutku, and I never played again because I was still really bad. Like I had only gotten Generations Ultimate, I think after. I think after we fought Tigrex for the first time, or after I fought Tigrex for the first time, obviously I had someone with me. But I was like, wow, Monster Hunter is awesome. And then I, got Generations Ultimate, and everything felt super weird to play.
The
I mean,
old janky style.
yeah, and to this day, aside from Rise, because Rise is great. I genuinely think Generations Ultimate is my favorite Monster Hunter game, purely based on what the hunter themselves can do.
Are you talking about the styles?
Yep, the styles. Because in Generations Ultimate, not only do you have six styles that work with each individual weapon, but those weapons in turn get super moves to go with those styles. There is so much stuff to that game. It is phenomenal.
Kind of makes you wonder why they didn't bring it back.
Yeah, I it's probably because of Nintendo, honestly. You want my honest opinion? Nintendo.
Of course it was Nintendo.
Because the last Monster Hunter game that was on something that wasn't Nintendo before World was Monster Hunter Portable 3rd. And I'm pretty sure that that came out in 2009.
PSP. PSP. It was the PSP,
Yeah,
wasn't
it
it?
was the
I
PSP.
knew it! I
It
knew
was the
it!
PSP.
I knew it! Sony, you fumbled the bag! Ding it, man.
Because,
Oh,
yeah,
man.
Try was on the Wii, and then it went to the Wii U, and then Try, what was it? It's like Try Ultimate, I think, something like that. That went on to the 3DS, and then Monster Hunter 4 was on the 3DS, and then Monster Hunter Generations was on the 3DS, and then Generations Ultimate was on the 3DS. That got ported to the Switch.
Yeah, no, yeah, that's fair, but still. Man, that really sucks. I would have loved to have the styles back, but I guess Capcom just turned around back to the crowd with the most nervous expression you could easily tell. And they're like, well, they'll love the clutch claw. They have to love the clutch claw.
Nintendo's sitting there with like knuckle dusters, just like slowly like revealing them. It's like, don't you dare give them our trade secret.
That's our style.
Yeah.
That's our style. But,
Yeah.
man.
Although, clearly it didn't work out well enough because, I mean, at some point, they made Rise, which was a Switch-only title, and then Capcom just said, you know what? Everyone gets wire bugs, and then that came to the other consoles.
Yep, and that's great too because that was my first Monster Hunter game. Yeah, I know I'm such a juvenile. I'm like a baby in its crib, barely reaching out to realize that man, I really came late to the scene. Because after playing Rise a sufficient amount and having this lug nut drag me through the whole game. Because we just had to fight Malzena. We had to. It was the end goal. It was the penultimate freaking boss of all
He's
monsters. And he,
the main man.
after that stupid little edit I did, he just became your favorite monster aside from like Nergigante. But like,
Well, actually, no. Primordial Malzeno is now my favorite monster of
oh
all
yeah,
time.
no,
He
no, yeah,
pushed Nurgi to second.
primordial
Yeah.
Malzena. But yeah, it was my first game. It's like, wow, wire bugs are really cool. You get to freaking zip around all over the place and wire bug the monsters to make them fight other monsters. It's just like, it was really cool. I wonder if you could do this in the other games. You can't. You'll be lucky that you there's no jump button. Well, there isn't a jump button in Rise either, but I took the wire bugs as my jump button. And it was just like it was like slower. You didn't have the palamutes to freaking traverse you. They only ever really capitalized on that later on with the Sacrets in Wilds. And then it was just like, World was not a bad game. As a matter of fact, I think it might be my second favorite, considering like just how much love and care that you could tell before that whole clutch claw situation, like that they really poured a lot into it. You had like all the different crossovers. They they brought some monsters back, and they also created a bunch of new ones, considering you literally went to the new world. So, and then, like I said, the crossovers were pretty neat. And yeah, I mean, the expansion was also fantastic. What was the freaking mini game called? Was it the Steamworks?
Oh, the Steamworks, yeah.
Yeah, the Steamworks, where you just pressed all the. You basically gambled. It was a glorified game, but man, I just loved it so much. And then they added
I
the
just love
freaking.
gambling.
They added the quest where you freaking murder the Zenogre to get even more coal, so you can like burn even more, and just you could just gamble there for like 9 hours and get so many materials. Still, like the absolute most best and fun way to get a bunch of materials and potions and stuff. That mini game never gets old, dude. I really wish they could like bring it back in some form for like an expansion for Wilds, but I guess we'll have to see.
I mean, hey, now we have bowling.
I wish they made it more
I'll
con
admit.
I wish they made it more convenient. It does feel like a bit of a hassle that you just have to go all the way up to the right side and then just freaking, put in tickets and stuff, as compared to like the Steamworks, where it's right there. And
Yeah, that's fair.
yeah, whatever. But yeah, I mean, like World is a great entry to the franchise. I think it's still personally a lot of people's favorites for good reason. The thing is packed with content. There's so many armors, styles, all that good stuff. Of course, Fatalis is also in there as like a really tough fight until like you until you unless you're like one of those guys who like has some friends, and then you make a build specifically designed to kill Fatalis in less than like a minute or 30 seconds. But man, yeah, like playing Rise was like a pretty great introduction for me, and then we go into World, and then that was a whole thing as well, and then we went into Wilds. Like, and then that was like a whole thing that we did together. Like, it was really cool, like getting to experience a Monster Hunter like while it launched, because that was like the first Monster Hunter that you and me did, where like we were there day one. We were there when the gates opened. We played through the whole thing. We
The beta.
grinded it as much as we could, and then unfortunately it kind of died because the people are complaining that there isn't much content.
Well, okay. The thing is, right? This is no different than the thing I brought up earlier, right? With Generations and the Generations Ultimate, Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate. It's the same sort of idea, but it is objectively better, right? Because, yeah, our Wilds as a base game came out with less stuff, okay?
Less monsters.
But less monsters, right? Less monsters, less stuff to do. Once you beat the story, all there was really to do was to fight,
Arkveld 50 times.
Arkveld, Gore, and Jin'Dahan, those were really the only ones that were like truly
Worthy.
worth going after. But title updates. You and I never experienced what World was like before its title updates. And a lot of people who've played World will say that, like, in terms of content, World was around the same as Wilds, probably worse, actually, because, it had the same problem. Before the title updates, you fought Teostra and Nurgi. Kushala had great stuff too, but everyone hated Kushala for a good reason. Wind.
Wind Waker.
Yeah, no, it's one of those things where it's like I can understand where some people are getting frustrated due to the lack of content, but they also just don't understand Monster Hunter is kind of built around this cycle where, you beat the game, you leave for a bit, new content shows up, you play again. Okay. You're satisfied with the content, you leave, and then more content shows up, It's one of those things 'cause it's the exact same thing with the DLCs, right? Fatalis, Alatreon, Primordial Malzeno, Amatsu, they weren't there when the initial release of the DLCs were there, right? They were not like Fatalis wasn't the end of Iceborne in terms of release, right? In terms of story, yeah, he's the end. But like when it first released, I'm pretty yeah no Char Ishvaldo was the end. So we didn't have Raging Bracky, we didn't have Furious Rajang, we didn't have Alatreon, all that stuff. They were all title updates that showed up, and everyone praises those monsters. I guarantee you, if those monsters came out like while the title updates, or if they came out during the DLC itself, they would have been a lot more rushed. They would have, I'm sure they still would have been good, because it's the Monster Hunter team. They made Gypsyros fun in Wilds, all right? Let them cook.
I mean,
But
weren't there actually talks though that they kind of admitted that it was kind of rushed out, or was I
well, yeah,
hallucinating?
no, it was rushed. It was rushed because the higher ups,
They wanted it out.
the
They needed
shareholders.
money.
Yep. I kid you not. The shareholders wanted Wilds to release at the end of December in 2023. You and I both played the beta. Yeah, it was fun. There was plenty wrong with it.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And yeah, it was just like they rushed them really badly. I mean, although given what they had, they did great. Like, the story, it could have been slightly better, some decisions with the story. I feel like Nada definitely could have been handled a little better. He's an endearing character by the end of it, but he definitely had some hiccups there along the way. And then of course, like the whole thing about our hunter basically being having like a backstory, because like it is touched upon a very very little bit. Like it's there, but it's not fully expanded on, which I hope they do touch on for the expansion. But like, yeah, I mean the monsters are great. Chotacabra's a fun first monster to fight. Like all the new guys as well, like Doshaguma, and especially Arkveld. Like he's a great title monster, poster
Oh
child.
yeah.
Although they really win more than they should, which I mean is fine. I mean they're like those chain blades are supremely good for siphoning
Yeah.
energy.
I
And
mean, again, he's the flagship. He's got to win. This is his game. You know
if
what I
only
mean?
they treated Magnum all of the. No, I'm just kidding. I'm done. I'm done.
I mean, Magnum Molo, he. I think he only ever. I don't think he ever lost a turf war. Now that I think about it. He's tied. He ties, because he ties with Primordial. He ties with Normal Malzeno. He ties with Vel'Koma. I mean, he doesn't fight Amatsu, but. Considering
He still
Apex
would
is
have
an
tried to
ogre.
fight it.
Oh, he would have, yeah. And, I mean, he one-shots Normal's an ogre. He definitely would have tried to fight Apex an ogre. And that guy has his weakness. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
But
I'm probably
every.
talking more in terms of story, because I mean, Magnum Molo had he didn't have much to do with the story. I mean,
He.
he came in at the last second to like merc. What was her name again? Narwa? Was that what it was?
Narwa and Ibushi. Yeah, it
Yeah.
was Narwa. All Mother Narwa. Dude, single-handedly, out of every single Monster Hunter game that I have played, Magnum Hollow is the most shafted flagship because he gets one cutscene of him killing Winnie the Pooh, and then we just murder him.
Wasn't
Nergigante.
there also like his intro cutscene if you do like the separate missions where he mercs a what was it, a Tobi
A
Kodak?
Toby. Yep.
And
Now,
that's it.
granted, that's a good scene. I like it.
There should have been
It's
more.
still it's just not great. It like he just had it rough, man. He just had it pretty rough. There's really no other way to say it.
Yeah. Anyways, Capcom, bring them back in the expansion. But going back to Arkveld, like, they are a very solid like flagship monster. You know, they get like a good sufficient amount of cutscenes. Like, Nergigante, he, you know, they got the power. They, you know, they steal the spotlight. And you know, of course, they have a pretty satisfying endgame, where it's like, yeah, you finally kill, or I get, you know. Spoilers, even though at this point, shouldn't really matter. But if you haven't, if you want to play the games, go ahead. But at the end of the game, you kill Guardian Arkveld, and you move on from that, and it's just like, yeah, terrible shame that we had to put him down. But and then you find out that, like, before that final fight, they laid an egg, and it's like, what? And then after that, it's just like normal Arkveld instead of Guardian Arkveld, so you finally get to see this extinct species back in its prime, more or less. And it's a pretty great delight to see. But yeah, after that, like, you just move on, you go kill Gore Magala, absolute goat, and then, you go back to kill Arkveld, normally, not Guardian Arkveld, because the more they feed on dragon energy, the more nutty they get. And then, of course, it wouldn't be complete without another cutscene of like Arkveld completely thrashing poor Raidou.
Okay,
And
okay.
then that's it. That's it in terms of like cutscenes and stories. But like then, yeah, you move on to the title updates, and then the first monster that we get is why did I forget? Why did I forget its name or his name?
Because it's mid.
The little bubble weasel. Because I
Yep.
completely forgot the name.
Mizutsune.
Yeah, Midzutsune.
Mizutsune,
I will be fair, it wasn't the strongest title update monster that they added, but it was something, I guess. I like the cutscene.
He, oh yeah, no, the cutscene was great. I give Mizutsune a lot of crap, but he is a genuinely fun monster to fight. He's a very okay, pun fully intended, bubbly monster, right? Where every single time he does something, there's almost a it's almost like he's trying to play a trick on you, right? It's almost like he's trying to make you look stupid so he can laugh at you. It's Now this is ironic. It's almost like a fey, right? He's trying to make you he's trying to make you look like a doofus so he can get a laugh, right? And only once you really put him in danger does he like completely change face. And so with this Mizutsune, he taps into the deviant's power, which the deviants are incredibly powerful versions of fairly basic monsters that have survived being hunted once, and they have honed their skills to stop that because, they're an animal, they probably don't want to die. And with Mizutsune, he has a form called Soul Seer Mizutsune, and instead Head of bubbles made of soap, he decides to instead play with literal gasoline, and he can shoot bubbles made of fire. This version of Mizutsune mixes both of their movesets while also turning into Sans the Skeleton.
We love dodging. They're
Yep.
extremely petty as well, like a Fate. You know, you launch one little moss at them, and then they turn around with the most ferocious and taken aback look in their eyes before they lunge at you and try to snatch your soul away.
And hits you with the meanest front flip known to man.
Oh,
That
yeah.
front flip does so much damage. I give Mizu a lot of like crap, but oh my goodness, I remember he hit me with that front flip for the first time, and I almost thought about respecting him.
Close, but no cigar.
Yeah.
But
It's
yeah,
still
no.
Mizu, but
Yep, still Mizu. I mean, again, wasn't the strongest title update monster, but it was nice, you know, that they put in some of that deviant in him, you know. And of course, the cutscene was charming and all that. And you know, then we move on a couple of
the
months, and it's
real
yeah, go ahead.
I was gonna say the real heavy hitter of that update was Zoshia, considering Zoshia was a one and done fight in the original story, and you couldn't get any of his her I'm gonna call it a her
It's
any of her armor. So the fact that they
yeah.
finally have a actual boss fight now
Yeah, no,
is very nice.
it was like wow. And then they immediately went to go fight Zoshia. Like Zoshia did get a bit of spotlight in the freaking like trailer, but it was mostly focused on Mizutsune. And then everybody's like, ooh! And then they immediately went to go fight Zoshia. It was nothing but Zoshia. Like that's what all of the like I launched or I looked for SOS flares. Nothing but Zoshia. Barely any Mizutsune.
Oops, all Zoshia.
And oh man, it was just nothing but Zoshia. And then of course it was a whole hassle trying to get the Zoshia quest because you know you had to wait for it to spawn, so it was just kind of like a whole thing. But yeah, it was quiet for a while, and that's when you know people kind of started to jump ship, and it was just kind of like ah, I still played for a while. You know, it was because I still love the game, and also because I was platinuming it as well. I hunted all the monsters for the crowns and all that stuff.
The fishing.
Oh, the fishing! Go and
Yeah,
get 30 whoppers. I had to do that whole side quest with the fishing chick to find out what a whopper even was. And then that there was only like one place that you could really go get them consistently.
okay, so before we go into the next title updates, let's talk about the Let's be honest, he's the real flagship. Raidou. Raidou is every Monster Hunter has a like pseudo flagship, right?
That
With
suit.
World, it was with World it was Anjanath. Anjanath was he's the big bully of the rainforest, you know, he's gonna be like the first real big bad that you take on, you know, all that stuff, right? With Rise, it's a little bit different, because with Rise, the story just wasn't really there. But if I had to say, it would have been Gauss, because a lot of people really, really like Gauss Hirog. And that is completely valid. I love Gauss Hirog.
He's so cool.
He's so cool. But a pseudo flagship kind of plays the role of he's. They can never top the real flagship, right? You know, Anjanath will never beat out Nurgi. Gauss can't really hold much of a candle to Magnamalo, right? And that's the same thing with Raidou. Raidou puts up a good fight against Arkveld, but he gets choke slammed at the end of the day. You know what I mean?
Gets his head crushed.
But yeah, but the thing with Raidou that he does just a little bit better than every other pseudo flagship His fight is so perfectly attuned that it's almost mesmerizing fighting him. He feels like such a powerful force in nature. Now, granted, I think he's one of the easier apexes to fight. Granted, we had a lot of practice considering, you and I, we how many times did we kill him in the
Quite a bit.
beta?
I mean, everybody did. Everybody did. Once he showed up, like, it was basically the Raidou extinction event. That's what it was.
Oh yeah.
And
Oh
that's
yeah.
exactly why he was the first to get an arch-tempered form. It was
Yep.
because he had to get the get back. And of course he
Yep.
did, in spades.
Mm-hmm.
But no, yeah, Raidou is just a fantastic fight. Like, even like his whole build up in the story and, like, his theme, obviously the theme.
Okay. The fact that you mentioned the theme has already sent chills up my spine. Now, if
Da-na-na-na.
you Oh, I love it so much. Now, if you guys remember, back when I first joined this podcast, I had said that Monster Hunter has my favorite music of all time. And Raidou has cemented that fact so sternly. His theme is single-handedly my favorite piece of music from Monster Hunter, aside from only Proof of a Hero. When you play second fiddle to the main theme of the franchise that you were born in, you know you have a baller theme.
Only the best.
Only the best.
But yeah, no, like, Raidou is definitely, like, up in the running for second flagship. But yeah, after that title update with Mizutsune and Zoshia, it was quiet for a while. People were desperate for more. And they kind of dropped that with a Street Fighter collaboration. And then, that was a whole thing. You got Akuma over there, just in the canon now. He's just there. He's just chilling, beating up monsters with his bare hands. I really felt bad for that poor Gypsy all laid out. Oh, poor guy. But yeah, he's kind of the unofficial, what is it, 15th weapon?
Basically, yep,
Yeah.
he is the 15th weapon.
He's like the unofficial 15th weapon, which people were kind of excited, were really excited about, because, oh, you could start punching monsters. I know you were one of them, you start throwing
Oh
hands
yeah.
with the monsters, but then you realize that you have to have the Akuma set equipped, and you can't layer armor over it, and it's just, oh, you fumbled it.
Well, okay. I get it because every other Monster Hunter game, when they have a licensed character, their layered armor is just them. Look at Monster Hunter World. You can literally be Leon S. Kennedy, right? You can literally be Claire Redfield, you can literally be, Dante from the hit game series Devil May Cry. Like, you can't mix and match any of their stuff. What if you want them, they're yours, my friend. But you just gotta. You just have to wear all of it. Which is understandable. I get it. It doesn't change the fact that it stings, that I can't punch monsters in my objectively superior fit because Akuma is dressed like a bum.
Homeless man.
Yep.
But yeah, no, that thing kind of just went by, and like, it was just kind of whatever. I mean, we could have also gone into the fact that they gave new skins to Alma, but we won't. But going into the second title update, it was definitely pleasant. Obviously, way back then when they did the roadmap, they teased Ligaia-Chris at the end of it, and it was just like, oh, it's Ligaia-Chris. And then we go forward, but then they surprised us when they did the spotlight for the thing, and it was like, well, we're also going to bring Seregios into.
We love Steve.
Good old Steve, and what a pleasant surprise he was. You know, it was like, wow, really? I mean, we get two? That's pretty nice. I thought we were just getting Legiacris with, like, you know, some extra goodies, like maybe, like, I don't know, another arch-tempered monster. Which, I mean, we are getting arch-tempered Uth Duna in a bit. Don't know why they stretched out the release date. I mean, it's just like increasing the difficulty
I
and adding
mean,
some new moves. Maybe?
that
Is
is
that what
what
it
they did
was?
with that is what they did with Arch-Tempered Raidou, because Mizu and Zoshea came out on the 5th of April, and then Raidou wasn't available until like the 19th.
Yeah, I guess, but I don't know.
I mean, I get it. I get it. They're just kind of stalling out the content, but to an extent, I see where they're coming from, because again, if they dropped all the content on us at once, we would leave sooner. You know what I mean?
Fair enough. But yeah, you know, it was, you know, co the content dropped, and then it was just like absolutely amazing. Both fights are phenomenal in their own right. Sure, like in their freaking tempered forms, they like kill you in like two hits max. And it doesn't help that for one, it ha for Legiacris, he has an entire area of effect attack where he freaking discharges electricity all over that could kill you immediately
And you can't block it.
if he charged it up, like if he charged it up fully, even with Lance, if you like blocked it, that would still
You're
be half of your health.
borderline dead.
That
Oh
would be
yeah, no.
half of your health gone. And you know, if it was like his ordinary, he still does it in bursts. Like if he did a small one, you could block it normally. But if he charged it up, then that was it. And
The
then for
second
Seregios, and then for Seregios, just him in general.
See,
Non-stop
I
relentless attacks.
with Legiacris and Steve, I think they're both incredibly difficult, but for two very different reasons. Legiacris is just random. He's not unfair, but he is random. You cannot predict what he is going to do, right? With Seregios, he kind of only has two real attacks: kick you and then kick you harder. The only thing is, when he does it, he's just unrelentingly fast. He is nothing but blind pressure. Whereas Legiacris gives you some room to breathe. Like, he's still fast, don't get me wrong. Legiacris is still fast. But Seregios, if he sees that you are even thinking about drinking a potion, bam, immediately starts bleeding you out with scales.
He's
He
like a
sees that you're
Nightreign
trying.
boss when he sees you
He
trying to
is! He
revive
is!
someone, just running over like
Yeah!
Officer Earl. Flintlockwood!
Flintlockwood!
Just a second, but no, yeah, the second you like put that freaking potion up to your lips, he's on you. Which
And
doesn't
that's
matter to me
great.
because I'm a great sword main, which is based, and I learned how to block and completely counterattack his stuff.
So, I was not expecting Steve to have a power clash, even though I knew it would make sense. I was just like, you know, he's just gonna exist. You know, we'll get offsets. Offsets are always fun, but I play Sword and Shield. I don't have an offset. Oh, woe is I. And then I fight him for the first time, and he goes for a massive dive kick, and I'm like, I have no time. I have to block it. And all of the sudden, he is pushing all of his weight against my shield, and my character is standing strong with one hand, and he stabs him in the foot before throwing him off. I was so happy.
You were riding the high.
Oh yeah, oh
Look,
yeah.
I'm just
By
gonna
the way,
tell
we
you, I'm gonna
completely
tell you this right now. Power clashes are the best thing that Wilds has ever done for the series.
I oh yeah, no, dude. And the thing is, power clashing was basically a concept from Monster Hunter Dose. There was a commercial from Monster Hunter Dose
The little
where
trailer.
the trailer with Blanganga, Blanganga rushed at a hunter, and the hunter was running away, right? And he trips and falls. And Blanganga goes to just completely decimate this guy, and the other hunter shows up and blocks him with his greatsword. Do you know how long people have been waiting to do that, man? It has been literal decades. It has been literal decades
But it finally
since
happened.
people. Yeah, and it finally happened. It finally happened.
And
I'm so
I am
happy.
very happy that, like, they are doing more power clashes for the new monsters, because when Mizutsune came out, he didn't have one. I kind of hope he did, because that would have made him a better fight, but
Well, I think it fits Mizutsune's character, 'cause every monster, like, they have a character, 'cause they're animals, They have characteristics that, make us love them. Steve, he just hates Rathalos. He just hates them with a burning passion, and,
Oh,
like,
he
to
hates
an extent,
everything.
it's just funny. You know what I mean?
He
Like,
hates
yeah,
everything, though.
he just hates everything, but he hates Rathalos in particular, It's just one of those things where the monsters as animals build up so much character that if they were to if they were to engage with certain mechanics, I genuinely don't think it would feel good or in character. If Mizutsune had a power clash, I would feel like that would be incredibly, I say unrealistic. This is Monster Hunter, but that's the best way to describe it. You know what I mean? Because, like, we've seen how Mizutsune fights. He's very elegant. He doesn't get confrontational. He only hits you with his tail when he knows that you're slipping on his bubbles. You know what I mean? Like,
Right.
he's not a very physical fighter. But, Steve, who, by the way, is the only monster in the entirety of Monster Hunter that does not have a subspecies or an element, for ever since he was created back in, I think 4 came out in like 2013. No, I think he came out in 2012. I don't know. Either way,
2010s.
whatever. He has not had a semblance of anything. Meanwhile, Mizutsune, he's got two fire forms in Soulseer and Violet, and he has a thunder form in Thunderbubble Mizutsune, although Thunderbubble is from Frontier, and Frontier is not canon. Technically, I mean, Espeonass.
Ah, good old
But,
Espeonass.
good
My
old Espeonass.
favorite sleepy boy.
We love Espeonass.
We love when non-canon monsters are suddenly canon.
I need Espeonass to show up in Wilds, and I need him to fight Devil Joe. I would love that so much.
But yes, switching gears from Steve to Ligaia, aside from that AoE attack, Ligaia also has like the most unique combat flow in the game ever when it comes to his, I guess, midway point, I guess you could say, near like a good bit past the midway point if you do enough damage to him. In the sense that he runs back to his he runs back to his cave, he swims back, and then after he after you follow him and he's like, "How dare you?" And then you club him a bit, he just dives into the water, and then you, yes you, dive in right after him, and that's when you enter pseudo underwater combat. Now there are Monster Hunter past Monster Hunter entries where it is purely water combat. Only Grimm knows the name. I completely forgot about it.
It is only Monster Hunter Tri.
Yeah, and
No other Monster Hunter game has Monster Hunter or has Monster Hunter combat, has underwater combat.
of course, You fight the king of the seas in the water because that's literally his whole shtick, and you enter this little bit of pseudo underwater combat with him, and it's not the best. Of course they had to work with the resources they had, but man, they really did a good job with what they had. It was engaging enough as to where it's always you're always kept on your toes, especially in the tempered fight. Because when you first fight him, it is a bit of a breeze. It's basically just like getting used to the mechanics
Spectacle.
of that. Yeah, it's more of the spectacle. And in this, it's definite, like in his tempered fight, which we mostly always do, it is like definitely a battle for survival and to make sure that you don't stay in, that you have to wrap it up fast enough so he doesn't do an ultimate discharge, which you can still fortunately dodge, but if you don't, well, then you better just get ready to get carded. But that
Say
underwater
that.
section is so much fun, man. Like it's so much fun, and then like the spectacle of like the person who does the last bit of damage to get him out of the water. It has a whole cut scene where you just like freaking grapple right onto him, and then like launch him backwards. And if you're close enough to some spikes that are nearby, you can launch him into those, does more damage, and gets him prone. It's so cool. Such a great in-game cutscene. It's so awesome, and I love it so much. And yeah, no, Ligaia Chris is just he's a great fight. Like we talked about before, I can kind of see that eventually it will get a little tiresome trying to like always like going like because that's a mandatory part of the fight. He's always going to go underwater, and you're going to have to fight him to get him out. And people are probably gonna be a little up in arms about it, like, oh, it's gonna ruin the flow of the fight. But like, if that's really the case, I mean, maybe eventually, if they fold, they could add a version that doesn't go into the water. Although that would make it significantly more boring, because you'd be a boring person.
Boar, look at this guy. He has to play on land.
Look at this guy. He wants to fight Lagaiacris, the king of the seas, on land. What a loser. But
It's
like,
funny that that you actually say that and whatnot, because Ligaicrus does have a land-only subspecies called Ivory Ligaicrus. Now, granted, he is my favorite version of Ligaicrus solely based on his design. But
yep, all he's
he
gotta
could
go
show
is
up.
turn from blue to white.
Yep. He goes from blue to white, and his like electric spine crystals turn blue. He could easily show up in the DLC, or he might. I mean, it'd be kind of a waste considering we have normal Ligaicrus, but he could be a title update. I'd rather him be a DLC monster. But again, we could totally just see Ivory Ligaicrus do the entire Ligaicrus fight solely on land, and maybe he has his own super form where, instead of going into the water, he goes up the waterfall, right? Where Uthduna does her massive waves, where you fight kind of like all of the Leviathans up there, where maybe he just can release a massive shockwave in the air. He does what Ligaicrus does underwater, above water,
Yeah, fair enough. Can I also say that, like, back when we first fought Uthduna, like, the very first time, and then she started swimming up the waterfall while we were chasing after her, like, right on the
So
side of it?
majestic.
That was so cool, yeah. But, yeah, like, he's very great fight. Can see why people would complain that it would ruin the flow of the fight. But I think what that does is that opens up more opportunities for more water monsters that you can fight under the water. And I really hope that they kind of dig into that as well with the expansion, like, tune the water fighting mechanics a little bit more, make it more just a little bit more, because obviously if you do too much, well, at that point you're basically coding a whole different side of the game that wouldn't even really be used for more than like 10, 15 minutes. But like, yeah, it opens the door for like more stuff. And that makes me really excited because, man, fighting underwater is a lot of fun. It's a refreshing change of pace, and it really just it gets the bubbles going, man. It's the motion in the water. And then yeah, that's where it stands right now for Wilds. The next title update won't come out until the end of September, I think.
Something like that.
And I'm eagerly awaiting to see what other monstrosity they'll pull out. It's probably going to be Double Joe.
I hope it's either Devil Joe or Basil, because I would love a turf war between Basil and Steve, and I would love a turf war between Devil Joe and Arkveld.
It'd be very interesting to see, because I really hope that they also do more animations for Arkveld in the Turf Wars, aside from just like slapping them and then draining them of their energy and then running off.
It hurts him as a monster because
It feels
we
cheap.
get that it does because we get that he's supposed to be powerful, but show us that power in a way that doesn't feel, well, in the most literal sense, copy and pasted, but in another sense that doesn't feel generic. You know what I mean? Don't have him beat Gormagala. Don't have him beat Lagiacrus. Don't have him beat, Rathalos as easy as he would beat a Quermatrice. You know what I mean? Because if he can do that, why would he go for a Quermatrice in the first place? You know?
Poor turkey. Oh, it's terrible.
But yeah, no. Arkveld's a great flagship. He suffers from what Magna Malo had, but just a little bit worse in terms of turf wars. And the only reason he doesn't get as much flack as what Magna Malo had is because it might hurt you to hear the truth, Assassin, but his design is much better.
Well, I wasn't paying attention. What did you say? No, I'm just kidding. Don't say it. I would rather live in my blissful ignorance, or until I rewatch or rehear the episode. But
But
anyways, I like Magna Malo a lot more.
I mean, hey, that's totally valid.
Dude, look, call me a scrub, but like, those Magna Malo blades carried me throughout the whole story. I never strayed from the path.
I still have
I
no
knew the
idea.
assignment. Yeah, you still have
Still have
no
no
idea
idea how you
how I
like
did
dual
it.
blades in Rise. I don't understand how you like dual blades in Rise.
They're fun. You could do stuff you
Good for
literally
you.
can't do in any of the other games.
I
And
granted, I think that's the case with every single game. I think there's always something
there's
that's different.
always a new gimmick unless you're playing the first game.
No. The gimmick of the first game is that you hate yourself.
Yep.
And you attack with
Oh,
the analog stick.
you
Tell me
love
how
tank
that makes sense.
controls. You love tank controls.
Yep.
But man, already go. What is it? Over nearly over an hour, or is it over an hour? I wasn't really paying attention. But unless there's something else you want to talk about, because I mean, there is still a lot to talk
There's
about. We're
always
just
more. There's
just
always
talking
more.
about the games. I mean, there's like the lore, which is a whole separate side of the dish.
We mentioned stories and then never brought it up again. So
Yeah, I mean
if you want to like.
that's the franchise where, or that's the side stories where, it actually gets into lore. Whereas the main games until like a little bit later with like World, and I guess technically it could have like started way back, like even in the first game. But like earlier in its life cycle, they were still throwing out wild ideas for how the franchise would turn out to be. No other piece of a concept is more bombastic with how crazy they were getting with the lore of the games than the Equal Dragon Weapon. And you know, that was as insane, as it got. And then eventually they put that into the Guardian storyline with Wilds, especially with Zoshia. And you know, I lost my train of thought. That was completely idiotic. But yeah, no, in terms of the mainline games, you're basically just like murdering things that are disturbing the ecosystem and having some laughs with the crew you're with, and like that's really it. Like it's nothing too special, it's nothing too like out there and cinematic. It's just like you doing your job, because that's literally what it is. You're just bringing balance and like, you know, making cool boots out of that latest Elder Dragon you just slayed. And then it wasn't until, you know, they decided to get a little twinkle in their eye and be like, well, what if we dug into that? What if we dug into that, you know, bit of lore side of, you know, Monster Hunter? And that's, of course, when they came out with Stories. And as of right now, I am still currently playing through Stories 2, so I haven't completed it. Grim has probably could have done it 10 times over if he wasn't so focused on trying to murder everything and collect more eggs. But I did complete Stories 1. He watched me complete Stories 1. He was kind of playing it, but then he just decided, eh, I'll just watch you play it, and then that was it. Stories is the closest and probably the only games where we're ever going to really get heavy lore and story, where you're never going to get it anywhere else unless you look at like item descriptions, like in for the weapons and armor and stuff, like in Dark Souls, where even then it's just kind of like, well, with this armor you can withstand the force of a meteor, or with this weapon you can freaking cleave the heavens. But like, you know, in Stories, it's definitely more toned back. It's, you know, it's a kid's game, which is a little personal argument that me and Grim have going on. But besides that, you play as a rider, which is a polar opposite of a hunter, in the sense that you tame monsters, you live alongside them, you forge bonds, and you know, that's basically the lifestyle of the rider. You only kill the monster when it is absolutely necessary. That's basically, even though in the games, like, you just, it's an RPG, you go around killing everything. Riders are definitely more sensitive to putting down monsters than hunters are. But you know, you play as a young lad. You aren't a full-fledged like adult. Like the most is in Stories 2, where I guess you're basically like a teenager. In Stories 1, you're more or less like, what, 10 years old? Like in
Pretty much, something
somewhere
like
in
that.
that range, you know. You play as a young lad, you know, 10 years old, going out on an adventure, forming bonds, tragedy strikes, you know, run-of-the-mill stuff for an RPG, of course. A very, very great game. Like, I really wanted to get into it. I wanted to get into it with like how the whole shebang goes. But one, my brain is shutting down, and two, man, we'd be here for another hour, and like we would stretch this episode so far that it would make Phoenix blush in anger. No, it would be funny,
It would
but
be funny.
I'll just get into the bare minimum of it. So, like I said, it's an RPG. You're not doing classic Monster Hunter stuff by bashing things over the head and like real-time combat. This is turn-based combat, so you know it is very, very traditional RPG. And then of course you have like, since you tame the monsters, you don't really fight them unless they're in direct opposition of you. There's the whole host of monsters, up until that point where the game came out, which is like what, was like early 2014, 2015, somewhere around that range, early 2010s.
I think it was. I think it was. It was after Generations Ultimate, because there was a There was a free Hellblade Glavinus that you could get as a Monstie by doing some like Nintendo eShop stuff.
Okay. But yeah, it was like any, well, not any. Unfortunately, there are some monsties that are really cool. Eggnector. You
My
couldn't
son.
have them as a monstie, which is a terrible shame, but there are a lot of monsties in the game that you can, collect and, have fight along your side. It's like basically like Pokemon or Persona, stuff like that, where you like collect different like monsties and, Pokemon Persona to like build up a whole squad. But you can only have one monstie with you at a time. The whole you can have more than one or more than two members in your party is expanded upon in Stories 2, but in Stories 1, it is relegated to you and your Monstie. And while you can have a whole squad of Monsties, you can only have one out at a time. So, tough. Shame, but that's the way the game worked. You could. It was cool. Very, very fun. I loved it. It's a bit of a slow burn with Stories 2 for me. But I haven't given up on it yet, so there's that. And the story beats for both games are very similar, as me and Grim have discussed. And honestly, it's a very great, it's a very great spin-off of the mainline games. I wish there was more attention to it. I really hope that they'll consider making a third game. Will that happen? Who knows? Maybe that one disgruntled Capcom employee that by some chance listens to this will consider it, maybe, please.
Please.
I only want it because I want Magnum Mallow as a monstie.
Same. Do you know how cool a Magnum Mallow monstie would be? You know how cool a Raidou monstie would be?
It'll never happen, unfortunately. I mean, even if it did, they probably won't even put the monsters we want in there. Probably be the same thing. And then they'll
Primordial
make.
Balzetto, my son.
And then, for of course, they'll have to make Ratha the third again, the main character.
Oh, of course. I mean, it's Ratha. It's Ratha, man. He's gotta be.
Ratha 2, and Ratha 3, all completely separate Rathas. I still have gripes about that. it's I don't know, man. But yeah, they're fantastic games. If you have some time to spare, they go on sale pretty often. And it's a great time killer if you just need some time to go and murder monsties but don't want to go through the whole or monsters but don't want to go through the whole like setup and grind of the normal Monster Hunter games, and definitely give that one a shot. It's a very great two games. I very much enjoyed my time with the first one. And of course, yeah, the lore. I just love that finally a Monster Hunter game had a story with it. Waiter, waiter, please. I need more story to go with my Monster Hunter.
I need more story to go with my Monster Hunter stories.
It's like I told you, man. The fact that Dead Rising has more like story and lore to it than like Monster Hunter, like it's wild to me.
Monster Hunter Wilds.
Cause it is canon that every Monster Hunter game happens, except, Frontiers. But like
I mean,
we don't have a set date as to like what games take place
nope.
in what year because it never tells you.
Never tells you.
It never tells you. Again, like the closest we ever get is like the Stories games where like there are returning characters from the first game to the second, and like obviously they aged, so like they're young adults. So obviously you can tell a couple of years have passed, but like it's still like, can you just give me a year? Give me a birthday to work with at least.
Nope.
It sucks. I don't know. I think we've stretched this as long as we could, man. It's just like, I'm dying here. I think it's time for us to start wrapping it up. It was a great episode.
I
Maybe
mean,
we can do a sequel in the future and drag Phoenix into it willingly or unwillingly.
I still haven't even told the Rajang story, so I
That's fine.
mean,
We can live without
okay.
that. We can do that in the future episode that will happen. I am decreeing it here
The
and
one
now.
that allows swearing.
Maybe one day, that contract is truly unbreakable. But until then, we've come to the end of our time. Thank you for joining us on this monstrous journey. It kind of bounced all over the place, and then we kind of really laser focused in on Wilds there for a bit. But yeah, there's a lot more to talk about, and there's definitely, a lot more to play. I can't wait for the future title updates and of course the expansion for Wilds. And of course, if you haven't ever played Monster Hunters once in your life, you should. It is pretty widely accessible. There are a lot, it's on a lot of platforms, like the games are like everywhere. And yeah, I mean, that's it. Check the link for all the socials and stuff, and Phoenix. Send him and Mason your best wishes. And that's it. We will catch you. Am I forgetting something? I'm probably not forgetting something. D&D stuff, that will happen soon, I think. I mean, it has happened, but, like, it wasn't recorded. Should I have told them that?
They don't care.
I mean, if they really want, we could do a tavern talk about it to recollect the events. But that's it.
True.
That's if they really want it.
Yeah.
And that's if Phoenix wants it. But
We get
yeah.
5 likes on this video.
Yeah, check the links, send Phoenix and Mason your best wishes, and thank you for putting up with our bollocks for this solo episode. I know there's usually a bit more professionalism because Phoenix is here, but you get us instead. So until next time, true believers, we will catch you on the next big hunt. Bye bye. Whatever you gotta say.
Bob.
Oh, there you go.